Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis in Shavuos. Okay, that's going to be tomorrow's daf. Today's daf is going to be Yud Aleph. All right, even better. I was only gone for one day. not more than that. Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Aleph in Shavuos. And we're going to backtrack a little bit. Thank you, Stuart, for doing the daf yesterday. And we're going to go to Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan is found on Daf Yud Amud Beis, and it starts about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. And it's a totally new topic. After the Gemara went through the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shavuos, which is really all the Mishnahs of the first Perek, now the Gemara is going to pick up a general Kachim topic. Discuss it over here. The topic's going to come up again when we get to Zvachim. But discuss it over here. Why does it come up over here? Because our Mishnah later on, not today, but tomorrow, the Mishnah later on will be tried to be used as a proof one way or another into this general discussion. The general discussion started with a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. A crazy statement by Rabbi Yochanan. It's not crazy, but in fact it's the halacha, but at first it's not well received. Damar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. So Ula quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Tamidim Shalom Hutzra Cholat Tzibur. You have a carbon tamid, which is no longer needed by the community. So Nivtin Tamimim can be redeemed even while it's unblemished. Okay, period. Okay, that's it. That's the crazy statement. Okay? So I'm sure Stuart went through a lot of the background yesterday, and I'm sure I'm just going to retread a lot of the information, but that's fine. It's a lot of information, so I certainly it's worth retreading. First of all, we're talking about a carbon tzibur, carbon tamid specifically. Tamid is offered daily, twice a day, right? Once in the morning, the tamid shel shachar, and once in the afternoon, the tamid shel bein arba'im. This is a carbon tamid that represents the entire Jewish people. This is the ola that's brought daily that represents the entire Jewish people. We daven nowadays, our shachris, our mincha, nowadays are reminiscent, are instituted as a result of the carbon tamid. Tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arba'im. Tamid shel shachar is shacharis, tamid shel bein arba'im is mincha. What about Mariv? So Mariv doesn't have any carbon representation. There is no carbon that's brought at night. We don't have a Mariv that represents Karbanos. Mariv is has more to do with Yaakov Avinu than it has to do with the Karbanos. But there's two Karbanos that are brought every day. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. This is a carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is a carbon ola, which means that it's totally burnt up on the Mizbeach. It is not a shlamim. Pieces of it are not taken off. The whole thing, the whole animal, every single part of the animal is offered up on the Mizbeach and burnt on top of the Mizbeach. Okay. When you set aside a carbon tamid, so that animal that you use has to be an unblemished animal, right? A tamim, a perfect animal, right? When we get to Becharos, we were going to discuss what exactly qualifies as a blemish. A blemish is not an actual physical blemish on the animal, right? Not necessarily going to make it a trefa, but simply it's going to be a blemish that will disqualify it from being used on the Mizbeach. Okay? So, the Rav Yochanan's crazy statement goes like this. If for whatever reason, we'll go through the reason in just a moment. If for whatever reason, I don't need the carbon tamid, and so now it's just a carbon tamid that has no use for it, I can redeem it. Nivdim. I can redeem it even if it's bali tzmimim, even if it's unblemished. Okay. Now, why is that such a radical statement? Why is that so off the wall? It's radical because an animal that's sanctified has kedushas haguf. When we get to kachim, this is terminology that we're going to hear again and again. Get used to it now. Kedushas damim versus kedushas haguf. Kedushas damim means that I consecrate an item, an object, only really for its value. Now, let's say I take this pencil I'm holding in my hand, right, beautiful pencil, and I makdish it, and I sanctify it. So this is not going to be offered up on the Mizbeach. It's not going to, right? No, it's plastic with a little bit of lead inside of it. What purpose does it serve to the Beis HaMikdash? Nothing. The only thing that they could use for it is put it out on eBay and sell it and make money on the sale. And good. And so all it has is what's called Kedushas Damim. The whole reason why I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, even though I sanctified it, is so that they can deconsecrate it by selling it, period. So obviously that's something that could be redeemed. What about Kedushas HaGuf? Kedushas HaGuf is any item that could be going on the Mizbeach. When something has Kedushas HaGuf, it's intrinsically holy. The Kedusha is not just a Kedusha on its value, it's a Kedusha on its very essence. It is Kadosh, it's sanctified. And generally speaking, we assume throughout all of Kachim, Seder Kachim, that once something has Kedushas HaGuf, it can't be deconsecrated. Simply put, it's designated to be put on the Mizbeach, and I cannot deconsecrate it. Now, if it becomes disqualified from being put on the Mizbeach, now we have what to talk about, because now it can't be used on the Mizbeach, and now I can try to redeem it. But if it still fits to be put on the Mizbeach, so now it's got the one singular purpose of its existence, and that is to be put up on the Mizbeach, and now Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, well, if you don't need it anymore, even though it's not blemished, I can go ahead and I can redeem it. Okay. Now, I'm sure we discussed this yesterday, but let me just go over this again. Why in the world would we not need a carbon tamid? Like, what would happen that would say, we don't need it anymore? So Rashi over here paints the scenario. Now, the scenario that Rashi points out is important because it helps us get through the next part of the Gemara as well. Rashi writes, Rashi's at the top of the page over here on Yud Amud Beis. We have in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a fiscal year, right? Like any organization, like any corporation that puts together a fiscal year, right? Our synagogue has a fiscal year. The Beis HaMikdash has a fiscal year. The fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash begins the first day of Nisan and goes for the whole year and ends up on the last day of Adar. And that is the fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara learns out through Psukim that that within the fiscal year, all the karbanos of this year have to be purchased with this year's money. I cannot use last year's money to buy this year's karbanos. I can't use next year's money to buy this year's karbanos. The operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash has to be annual, per annum. And you can only use this year's money for this year's karbanos. Okay? Period. End of that discussion. There's nothing. There's no wiggle room. There's nothing to discuss otherwise.
What do you do with the extra money of 1 year? Like this year, they didn't all the karbanos and the extra money.
So the extra money can be rolled over. But the extra money is going to roll over, but not be used for karbanos. It'll be used for other operating functions of the Beis HaMikdash, like upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The repairs of the Beis HaMikdash, but cannot be used to purchase karbanos. Purchasing of karbanos has to come from next year's money, right? We already went through Masech Tishkalim, and we're going to be quoting the Mishnah in Shkalim in just a little bit. We learned in Masech Tishkalim that the collection of the money, of this year's money, happens the first day of Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar. They make the first proclamation, okay, we're collecting. And for that month of Adar, they now collect the shkalim for the upcoming year. Every Jew gives machitzis a shekel, gives a half a shekel. All that money is pulled together, and that becomes the treasure of the upcoming fiscal year. Rashi points out over here, so now, how is it possible, how are we ever going to get to a scenario where the carbon tamid is not needed, we don't need the carbon tamid anymore. How did that happen? So Rashi says, Shalachami Maus Trumas Alishka Vitanan, Ain Pochasim Shisha Talayim Hamavukarim Belishka Satalayim. We have always a surplus of six animals waiting for the carbon tamid. Why six animals? What is that? So Kshemagir Rosh, I'm sorry, and Rashi doesn't explain. And the reason why is because every animal needs a 4-day examination before being put up onto the Mizbeach. Six, because you have two a day. So two a day, so you need now a surplus. In addition to today's animals, you need six animals, meaning 3 days worth of carbon tamid, so that you're always going to be ahead by today plus another 3 days. You'll be 4 days ahead at all times. Now, Kshemagir Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lohayu Makrivim. Now, imagine. Now, we're at the end of the month of Adar, and we have our six surplus animals. Oh. So that's right now that's going to be an issue. Because now I have these animals, it's the end of Adar. Oh, so just bring them the first day of Nisan. No, you can't. Because those animals were purchased with last year's money. You can't bring them on the first day of Nisan. So here Rashi paints a scenario where you're going to have these animals, last year's animals, It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I can't use these animals, even though they're not, even though there's nothing physically wrong with them. I cannot use these animals now because they are purchased with last year's money. So lo hayimakir mishub karban tzibras mimasa shuma shalishtake kedamar maseches Rosh Hashanah. Rashi quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chodesh bechadsho. And chadesh v'havei karban mitruma chadasha. There's a responsibility, there's an obligation to purchase this year's karbanos with this year's money. And every year you're going to end up with this at the last day of the year. You're going to end up with animals that you just simply don't need because they were surplus animals that you had in store because there's a obligation to have these surplus animals from last year. Okay, so Rashi paints a scenario. Every year you're going to have this. Now Rav Yochanan says, not a problem. Just redeem the animals. Okay? Deconsecrate the animals, right? Send it on to money. And then if you want to, you can repurchase those very same animals with next year's revenue. Okay, good.
Except because they could have gone
So now you understand. So now, when Rav Yochanan drops a statement, go ahead and deconsecrate it. So everyone looks at Rav Yochanan and they say, holy cow, you can't do that. Literally, holy cow. Right? You can't. Right? In this case, holy sheep. So you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Because it has Kedushas HaGuf, it's intrinsically holy. And you can't deconsecrate it. If it had a blemish, fine. So it's no longer fit to be used on the Mizbeach. But this is an unblemished animal. You can't deconsecrate it, period. End of that discussion. So, but Rav Yochanan says it, and he says it, and he means it. And so let's understand. So what we're going to do now over the course of today's daf is understand what this is based on, how you can do that. Okay? Now, I'll give away the punchline. Okay? Even though it's not going to be till halfway through our daf today, the punchline is going to be the following. You see it on the next page. It's on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It's one line of Gemara. It's really the whole cornerstone of today's daf. Really revolves around this one line of Gemara, and the Gemara's answer is going to be Leiv Beisdin Masna Aleihem. Okay, which means essentially that Beisdin, when they consecrate these animals, do so conditionally. They know that some of these animals are not going to be used. And so therefore they consecrate them conditionally, and if not needed, so then the Kedusha doesn't apply. Maybe the way to say it is that the Kedusha never applied, meaning that our whole the whole way we're going to be makdish them is only if needed. If not, we take away our sanctification from the very beginning. Could be that's what Leiv Beisdin Masna Aleihem means. It could be retroactive to the point of the original Kedusha that was imbued in them. Okay. That we'll leave that for others to discuss. But in the meantime, though, that's the core answer to Rav Yochanan's principle that you can redeem them because of the principle of Leiv Beisdin Masna Aleihem. Okay.
If you redeem that, what is going to do with the money? Because this money belonged to the last year.
So what you'll do with that money is you'll use it for bedek habayit. You'll use it for temple upkeep. You'll use it to keep the Beit HaMikdash going, but not for karbanot. Karbanot has to be purchased with next year's money.
How is it different from Breira?
And maybe Breira comes to play over here. No, but Breira, it's not the same. It's not exactly the same. Breira means I make a selection. Yeah, you know what? Maybe Breira does come into play over here. All right, let's leave that out right now. Okay, that's it. So the statement of Rav Yochanan, I told you how we're going to get there, how we're going to explain it. In the meantime, however, let's go through the Gemara. Yosef Rabba v'kamar lalashmaisa. So Rabba's now going over the teaching of Rav Yochanan, right? And Rabba's reviewing what his Rebbe said. It's not his Rebbe. Rabba was not a student of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Rabba was out in Bavel, but okay. So Amar le Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, Man tzayis lecha. Rav Yochanan Rabcha. So Rav Chista says, you got to be kidding me. Who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to Rav Yochanan? The Gemara does say Rabcha. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. Anyway, who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to Rav Yochanan? You're kidding me! Like that's crazy. V'chi kedusha shebem leichan halacha. Where'd the kedusha go? Right. What are you talking about? Kedusha. The animal is intrinsically holy. You can't just simply dismiss that. You can't just simply say, "Oh, but we'll redeem it." No, redeeming it is in the world of kedushas damim. Here we're talking about kedushas haguf. It's intrinsically holy. So what are you going to say? Oh, we'll redeem it. How does that happen?
Does Rav Yochanan hold that the animal has kedushas haguf?
No. The answer is because Beilei Beis Amasna Lehem, because Beis Din basically said when consecrating it, conditional. Okay, we'll get to that later on. But right now, so Rav Chista says, I just simply don't understand. How in the world can you redeem it? Lehechan halcha. So Amar La. Okay, so we're now going to have a lengthy discussion basically on this one point of Rav Chista. Rav Chista now says, fundamentally, I do not understand Rav Yochanan. You can't redeem an animal if it has kedusha saguf. So I'm a lot lo tizbro de lo armina kedusha shemen leichan halcha v'atanan. So he says, so Rabbi says to Rav Chista, wait a second. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim. And let's learn the Mishnah in Shkalim together. Let's go through the Mishnah in Shkalim. But the upshot of the Mishnah in Shkalim is going to be, I have something with kedusha saguf, and we redeem it. So I don't know what to tell you, but there's a Mishnah Shkalim that seems to indicate that it can be done. So if the Mishnah Shkalim seems to indicate that it can be done, so Rav Yochanan's got what to stand on. So let's learn the Mishnah Shkalim together. Most are Ketores Ma'ayu Osin Ba. What would you do with the extra Ketores at the end of every year? Their Ketores is the incense that's burned daily in the base of Mikdash. Half of the Ketores is burned in the morning, half the Ketores is burned in the afternoon. It's part of the daily Avodah. Ketores is burnt on the inner Mizbeach in the Heichal, okay? And on Yom Kippur, they would have other Ketores as well, more Ketores, to be burnt in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. At the end of every year, you would have leftover Ketores, okay? Rashi points out, Stuart told me that he did the Tosos yesterday with you. Rashi points out that you have extra Ketores at the end of every year because in addition to, the Ketores was prepared at the beginning of the year. Meaning Ketores is made up of different spices, different incenses, and it was compounded together at the beginning of the year, enough to last you the whole year, right? And in addition to, obviously they would make the recipe for the year, in addition to making it for the year so that it would last us the whole year, they would make another three helpings of the Ketores. Because on Yom Kippur, what the Kohen Gadol needed to do is take his hands, dip his hands into the Ketores, and right, daka min adaka, finely ground Ketores, in order so that he brings it with him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and burn the incense inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tosos also points out, right, that in addition to that, meaning, that's what Rashi says, in addition to that, Tosos points out that they would have more than that left over at the end of every year. Because when they prepared for the year, what did they base it on? How many lunar days there are in a year? No, says Tosfos. They base it on how many solar days there are in a year. There are 365 solar days in a year, and they would prepare 365 mana of Ketores annually, plus three extra mana for the Kohen Gadol, for his Yom Kippur Avodah. So for every year, they would prepare 368. On a regular non-leap year, so there are only 354 days, so they would have a lot left over by the end of every year. Okay, so what are you going to do? Just roll it over into next year? You can't do that. Because as we discussed, there's a fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. And this year's karbanos has to be purchased with this year's money. Next year's karbanos has to be purchased with next year's money. I can't just simply take the Ketores and roll it over, just simply say, okay, let's throw it into next year. You can't do that. That's next year is next year. Next year has to be purchased with next year's money. So what do we do with that extra Ketores, Moser Ketores? So that's the Mishnah Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim goes on to explain. Moser Ketores ma'ayu osimba. What would they do with the extra Ketores at the end of every year? Mafrishim imenu schar ha'umnim. So it was a somewhat complex procedure in terms of how to roll over the Ketores from one year to the next. Now they would roll it over. But they would do it in a way so that basically, before we get to the details, they would deconsecrate it and purchase it again with next year's money. Okay, good. It was It was a washing, so to say, but this is legitimate washing. This is not money laundering. This would be a way of getting the Ketores from this year to next year and using next year's money to buy the Ketores. So they would deconsecrate it and they would buy it with next year's money. That's the simple, that's really the simplistic point that the Mishnah Shkalim is telling us. How exactly they would do it, it's a little complex. What they would do first is they would take money of the Chumas HaLishka and they would deconsecrate the money. How do they deconsecrate the money? Simple, they would set aside the money that they needed to pay the umnim, the workers. There was a lot of workers in the Beis HaMikdash, and craftsmen and artisans, people that compounded the incense, people that baked the lechem upon him. You had a lot of skilled laborers in the Beis HaMikdash, and they got paid. And they got paid with the Chumas HaLishka. So that what they would do is that they would take money that was needed to be used to be paying the omnim, the workers, omechalalin osa amausa omnim. They would take the leftover ketores, right? 11 plus 3, it's not really 3 because the Kohen Gadol took a handful of it, but whatever. Let's just say the leftover ketores from this year, deconsecrate that onto the money. So now the kedusha of the ketores goes onto the money. Right, and the money was deconsecrated because it was used to pay the workers. Now that what they would do is they would take the ketores, hand it over to the craftsman, to the artisan, because now it's just incense. It's not ketores with kedusha. It's just incense. They deconsecrated it. And now what they would use is they would take next year's money, or right, the new monies, and repurchase the Ketores, period. That's the end of the Mishnah in Shkalim.
Why does it have to be the person that they use for this? Why does it have to be a worker? Why can't it just be any Joshua?
Why can't they just simply, right, the Gemara in Shkalim, right, the Yerushalmi, which we learn, right, it's the only Yerushalmi we learn in the course of the Daf Yomi. So the Yerushalmi asks exactly a question, just sell it and buy it back. So the Rashi over here actually brings down the Yerushalmi. It doesn't quote it as the Yerushalmi. Rashi says, it's the last four lines of Rashi on this page. Hachitznia milsa tfei. It's just a more modest way to do it. Velola machra velachzor vaknosa dezila milsa. To take Ketores and to take it into the open market and just simply sell it to somebody and to buy it back, that it's not appropriate. It's just not an appropriate way to deal with the Ketores, right? Something that could have been used on the...
Nothing wrong with that.
Right, correct. It technically it would work, but Zila Mil said it's just a degrading way to treat the Ketores, so therefore we go about it in this somewhat more modest fashion, the fashion that the Mishnah Shkalim lays out for us. Okay. In the meantime...
Today, now that they got it back, did they sell it back?
The whole point they wanted to do this is to make the Ketores now this year Ketores and not last year Ketores. So it's just a way of rolling over the Ketores from last year to this year. Okay?
So what would they do with now this Ketores that became...
They're going to need it. They're going to need it because... Not only are they going to buy it back, but they're going to need it because... Remember, about every third year, approximately every third year, it's going to be a leap year. So that extra Ketores will be used. They prepare 365. Granted, 2 out of 3 years, it's going to be only 354 days. And they're going to have 11 left over. But there's going to be that third year, which is a leap year. And now they're going to need a full month more of Ketores.
So they can use it for...
And they will use it. They can and they will use it. That's the whole point of rolling it over.
You didn't say that the Ketores has to be made that year?
They prepared for that year. It doesn't have to be made that year. It has to be purchased with this year's money.
But the thing is that they have prepared for based on a solar year, so it doesn't matter how many leap years there were because it's set aside for.
Correct, but most of the years they followed the lunar year. The requirement of the new fiscal year starts not at the solar year, the new fiscal year starts at Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is only going to be 354 days later.
At the first Nisan, they had enough for 368 months.
Right, in other words, right, if we started from day one, meaning year one, So we're going to prepare this year 368 mana. Right. We're not going to need that much. There's going to be a surplus of at least 11. 12, 13, there's going to be surplus. So next year we're going to go with this process and basically now renew the surplus Ketores, right? Deconsecrate and buy back with this year's money. And I have another surplus for this year. Okay, good. So by the end of this year, I'm going to have a surplus of at least 22. Going now to next year, I'm also going to have a surplus, but the next year is probably going to be a leap year, if not definitely. So it's going to get used.
How are they able to transfer the Ketores to money? The Ketores was supposed to be on the Mizbeach and Kizeh.
Oh, that's good. That brings us now back to our discussion. So, perfect. Good question. Two lines from the bottom, name of Kedusha Shem Melech and Halcha. So where did the Kedusha go? Right, so now, right, Rav Chisda says to Rabba, not so crazy anymore, right? All of a sudden we're talking about Ketores. Ketores goes on the Mizbeach, right? It's like a carbon. And all of a sudden now, it's not so crazy. The Mishnah and Shkalim is basically telling us, you deconsecrate it. Okay? Yeah? Sounds good. So, So now what we're going to get into is a discussion in the Gemara of, well, is Ketores Kedusha Saguf? So, Amalei Ketores Kamar Shani Ketores the Kedusha Damim Ho. Ketores is Kedusha Damim, it's not Kedusha Saguf.
That's what Chris is saying.
This is what Rabba is. I'm sorry. This is what Rav Chisda. Thank you. This is what Rav Chisda is saying to Rabba. Right? You can't compare an animal which is set aside to be a carbon that has kedushas aguf that can't be deconsecrated. The Mishnah Shkalm about Ketores. Ketores is not kedushas aguf. Ketores is only Kedusha's Damim. The value of it is consecrated, but not its essence. It does not have Kedusha's Aguf.
What is Kedusha's
Damim? Kedusha's Damim just simply means its value. Its value is consecrated. When something's value is consecrated, you can deconsecrate it, because it's only as Kedusha for its value. So Ella Me'ata, so the Gemara says, okay, now here we go. And now we're basically going to now have a discussion, a debate in the Ketores itself. Ketores, what is it? Kedushas Aguf or Kedushas Damim? So at this point, the Gemara now is suggesting, Rav Chisda is suggesting, it only has Kedushas Damim, and that's why it can be deconsecrated. Ela Me'ata Loti Pasul B'Tful Yom. Ala Matanya, we have a braisa that tells us, Natna B'Machteshes, if I take the Ketores and I put it in the grinder, right? We grind the Ketores. Nifselis, it will become disqualified. B'tful yom, by having a tful yom touch it. A tful yom just simply means somebody who was tamei, who toveled in the mikvah, who dunked in the mikvah, and then is waiting for nightfall because his purity will not come, his total tahara will not come until nightfall. From the time that he toveled in the mikvah until nightfall, he's like, he has a little residual tumah left over. And this is what's called the tful yom. Generally, the entire mesechta in Shas dedicated. We don't learn it because it's in Seder Taharos. But tful yom is, generally speaking, a sheni l'tumah, right? Really like a real residual, just a secondary level of tumah. So, and nevertheless, if you put the Ketores in the grinder to grind it up, it's now subject to becoming disqualified through a tful yom. Okay. V'chi teima, so what do you tell me? You call Kedushas Damim is still tful yom. Okay, fine. So where's the question? Maybe, just like Kedushas Aguf is subject to becoming tameh through the context of a tful yom, same thing is true with Kedushas Damim. If something is sanctified only for its value, it also will become disqualified through the context of tful yom. But the Gemara says that's not true. We have a Mishnah. Mincha is subject to the prohibition of meila from the time your makdish kachu bekli hushur li pasul b'tful yom over mechusa kippur mevelina, and the mincha offering, once it's put into a vessel a kli sharis. And once it's imbued with kedusha saguf, then and only then is it subject to becoming tamei through the contact of tful yom. Now that's complicated, and that's a lot of information.
That's kedusha saguf, there.
That's exactly the Gemara's point. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Only when it has kedusha saguf is it subject to becoming tamei through the contact of tful yom. Before that point in time, it was not subject to becoming tamei through the contact of tful yom.
Doesn't address of whether ketoret is kedusha saguf.
We have a brace of that by ketoret. Once you put in the machteshes, it is subject to the contact and the tuma of a tful yom. So the Gemara is Gemara. Just, well, let me finish the process. Kachu b'kli in lo, kachu b'kli lo. Only when the mincha goes into the kli and now is imbued with kedusha saguf, then and only then is it subject to becoming tameh when touched by a tvul yom. So now when we go back to our ketores, we have a brisa that tells us that the ketores once put into the machteshes, when it comes into contact with a tvul yom, will become pasul, will become disqualified, meaning it will become tameh. So you see that the ketores is not kedusha sagadamim. You see that ketores is kedusha saguf. Okay, and so now we're basically back to that Mishnah Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim says you can deconsecrate the ketores and just roll it over and purchase it back with next year's money. How did you do that? It's kedusha saguf, and you deconsecrated it. Okay, let me just finish the Gemara and I'll pause. Ela my kedusha sagufi, ela me'ata tipaso belina. Now the Gemara is going to go off on a very technical question. Let's get through this question and answer. But basically we're going to come back to this point. This is a critical point of the Gemara right now, where we have demonstrated that Ketores is Kedusha Sekuf, and somehow the Mishnah Shkalim says it's okay, you can deconsecrate it. Okay, let's go through the technicality of this next piece of Gemara, and we'll come back. If it's true that it's Kedusha Sekuf, so it should be disqualified through Lina. Lina, when I have a carbon, right, that basically stays overnight, the next morning, we generally call the meat nosar. But let's say it's not meat. Let's say it's blood, right? In other words, I shepherded the animal, I have the blood collected in a bowl, I'm supposed to sprinkle the blood that day, and I leave it over for the next day. Disqualified. That disqualification is called lina, right? If, and this is true by Kedushas HaGuf, why isn't the Ketores become disqualified through Lina? Alama Tanan, and yet we learned in the Mishnah, Kometz is a portion that you take off of every Mincha, of every flower offering, Lavona, Ketores, O Minchas Kohanim, O Minchas Kohen Mashuach, O Minchas Nesachim, Mo'alim Behem Eshehuk Teshu, Kishu Bekli Hukshiru Lipasol B'Tful Yom, Uve Mechusar Kippurim, Uve Lina. So if it becomes consecrated in a vessel and subject to the disqualification of Lina, that's a Mishnah in Me'ilah. And the Gemara comments, Kasha B'Kli In, Lo Kasha B'Kli Lo. So once it becomes consecrated in a vessel, it's subject to the disqualification of Lina. So Amar Le, Lina Kamart, Shani Ketores, Hol V'Tzirasa B'Chol Hashana Kula, Kula. Don't, when it comes to Lina, this disqualification of leaving it over the night, don't bring Ketores into that discussion. Ketores doesn't belong in that discussion. Ketores is spices. Spices is not in the world of Lina. Flour erodes. Flour decays. Blood also erodes. Blood decays.
Blood congeals.
Right? Incense and spices, they're everlasting. So the prohibition, the whole topic of Lina is not subject, it doesn't apply, it's not applicable to Ketores. So leave Lina out of the discussion. Okay, let's come back now. Mikol makom kasha. V'chi kedusha shebehem la'echan ha'acha. Okay, so now we're here. Now we're at the point of the daf where I've shown you now that Ketores is kedusha saguf. Right? It has intrinsic Kedusha. It's not Kedusha's Damim. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Shkalim says that at the end of every year, you're going to have a surplus of at least 11 mana of Kataris. And at the end of most years, I should say. You're going to have a surplus of 11 mana of Kataris plus the three additional for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So you're going to have a surplus. And what do? Well, it's okay, so I'll tell you what you do. You deconsecrate it, and you buy it back with next year's money. How did you deconsecrate it? How did you get to that point where I just simply deconsecrated it? That's our question, right? And whatever the answer is going to be, so we're going to take that answer and we're going to use it to answer Rav Yochanan's original statement of the morning. Rav Yochanan started our morning off with, if I have a carbon tamid that I don't need anymore, I'll deconsecrate it. How did you do that? It has kedusha as a guf. How did you deconsecrate it? So right now we're right at the threshold of the Gemara's answer. Whatever answer we're going to say for the guitarist, that's the same answer we're going to use for Rav Yochanan and the animal.
Question.
Yeah.
When you use the example of putting the guitarist in the container and use that concept to say that it had kedusha damim, right? Kedusha aguf.
Right.
Were you trying to say that if something is kedusha damim, it does not, this whole concept doesn't apply going through into the vessel?
Before it goes into the vessel, it only has kedusha damim. Right, it doesn't have kedushas aguf. Kedushas aguf means it's ready for the mizbeach. Kedushas damim, it's like a couple steps before that point in time. So an animal, the moment you consecrate it, it's ready for the mizbeach.
Okay.
Now it's kedushas aguf. Spices, not yet. Spices are just raw material.
So,
when mixed together and ground up in the thing, now it's ready for the mizbeach. It's imbued with kedusha saguf.
So before it goes into this container, it's got kedusha damim only.
Right.
Once it's in this container and tuvul yom touches it, it's got kedusha saguf.
Well, even before the tuvul yom touches it, it has kedusha saguf.
Okay.
Just the tuvul yom is just a litmus test. How do I know that it has kedusha saguf? Because when the tuvul yom touches it, it now becomes disqualified.
So once it goes in that container, it converts from kedusha damim to kedusha saguf.
Correct. Correct.
So there's never ever a problem of deconcentrating in there, because you can have all the ingredients available and do it every day for that.
You're right, but that's not how it's done.
Why not? I mean, if you do...
You're right, it's a very good point. In other words, just prepare it that day. It's prepared at the beginning of the year. The whole thing is prepared at the beginning of the year. Where's the source for that? How come it has to be done that way? I'm not sure. Okay, but for whatever reason, your point is a good point. But for whatever reason, the way it was done is that it was prepared at the beginning of the year for the full 365.
They gained their kedusha aguf.
Yes, correct. Okay, so now here we go. Amar Rabba. Leiv based in Masna Alayim. Im hutzruchu hutzruchu, the imlav yule de mayhem. Period. Okay, those two lines of the Gemara are really the center point of the whole Gemara today. And basically what it means is as follows. Look, they're consecrated, but conditionally consecrated. The consecration of the animal for the carbon tamid, the incense for the ketores, the consecration, even though, generally speaking, we assume it's imbued with kedusha saguf, but Beis Din does so conditionally. It's interesting, the expression the Gemara uses is lev Beis Din masna alehem. The heart of Beis Din makes it conditional. I'm sure there's a reason why the Gemara uses this type of terminology, this particular formula of lev Beis Din, the heart of Beis Din. But essentially the point is that when consecrated, it's done so conditionally. If needed, right? Like it's a big disclaimer. If this is needed, so now we're going to give it kedusha saguf. And then we're going to use it for the carbon tamid, the incense we're going to use for the ketores. But if not needed, we're only going to imbue it with kedushas damim, not kedusha saguf.
So what happens that, say they prepare this, and a tuvul yom touches it, and then they have their kavana that is going to...
Right.
Kedusha or not?
No, that's a great question. Because and it could be that at the end of the year, that's the one that's going to end up becoming deconsecrated, and this goes back to the point I made earlier that when we say lev beis din masna alehem, does that go retroactive to the time when it was originally consecrated, or is it from this point forward? I'm not sure, right? That's one of the areas I'm not 100% sure about. When exactly it reverts to the to the level of Kedushas Damim as opposed to Kedushas Aguf. Okay? I'm not 100% sure, but that's basically the crux of all this. So now we have identified two examples. Your daily carbon tamid, which at the end of the year you have left over, right? Rashi says four left over at the end of every year. Your Ketores, where you know you're going to have left over, so we're going to deconsecrate. How can you deconsecrate? It has Kedusha Saguf, you cannot deconsecrate. Answer, the Gemara says, when consecrated, it was done so conditionally. And now that we no longer need it, now it goes and it drops from Kedusha Saguf down to Kedusha Damim. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, you said that let's say I have an animal, perfect animal, not blemished animal, and I consecrate it specifically for its value. In other words, I want to try to consecrate an animal for Kedushas Damim. What happens? Immediately it gets elevated. It gets an upgrade. And it goes right to Kedushas Aguf for a very simple reason. Because it's an animal, and the level of Kedusha will go to its highest point. Since it's an animal that can be used for the Mizbeach, immediately it will go to Kedushas Aguf. So, how can you tell me, right? How can you tell me that these animals that were for the carbon tamid, they were just, right, they were conditional. Over here, you see that you go the other direction. You have an animal that was sanctified only for its value, and immediately goes up to Kedushas Aguf. Lokasha. Ha dam al dame ola, ha da amar le dame nesachim. So the Gemara says, look, it depends. When you say an animal for its value, that's not enough information. You got to know, and what do you want to do with the value? Meaning, if I go to the base of Mikdash with an animal in my hand, and I say, here, I want the value of this animal to be consecrated, and I want its value to be used for carbon ola. Okay, it's strange, I understand, but still. In other words, you earmark, we do this all the time. When you give funds, you earmark what you want the funds used for. So here I'm providing funds, in this case an animal, and I'm earmarking. And I want the proceeds of this animal to go to carbon ola. Wait a second. This animal could be used as a carbon ola. Oop. Automatically, the Kedusha of the animal goes from Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Aguf. Fine. If, however, I earmark the funds for other things, so then the animal does not immediately go up to Kedushas Aguf. It stays at Kedushas Damim. And as Rashi explains in the top of the next page, and that's basically going to be our story over here with the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid, when Basin says it's conditional, Basin's basically saying, look, we're consecrating its value. If it's needed for the Mizbeach, let it go up to Kedushas Aguf. If it's not needed for the Mizbeach, so now we're basically saying it's not going to get to the point of Kedushas Aguf. It'll be just Kedushas Damim, period. Okay, fine. Eisei Abaye, more. Parvis Yoshe Yom HaKippurim She'avdu V'yifrish Acharim Tachtehem. You have your bull and your goat for Yom Kippur, which we've been talking about now for 2 weeks because it did make it into its way into the first Mishnah Shavuos. You have your bull and your goat for Yom Kippur, and you lose them. Now, of all the animals in the Beis Hamikdash to lose, those are rather unbelievable animals that we lost, right? Heads are going to roll for that one, right? The goat and the bull of Yom Kippur, but we lose them. And v'hifr shacharim tachtehem. So okay, so but we got a deal. So what we'll do is we'll just simply consecrate new animals. V'chein siri avodah zarah she'avdu v'hifr shacharim tachtehem, and the same thing would be true for the goat of Avodah Zarah, where we lost it and we consecrated a new one. And in all these cases, we find the old ones. What do you do with the old ones? Kulam Yamusa Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, you let them die. Okay. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Armim, Yurachi, Stavi, V'yamachu, V'yipulu Demem, L'nedava, She'en Chata, Sibra, Mesa. And the opinion that we want to focus on is on the opinion of Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon says, okay, not a problem. Wait, let them develop a blemish, let them form a blemish, sell them, and the proceeds of that sale will go to voluntary offerings that are offered during the slow time of the Mizbeach. Okay. This is a Chatas Tzibur. Okay, a little bit of background information over here. A chatas of an individual, if I no longer need it, right? And there could be a number of reasons why. A karma chatas of an individual that I no longer need, what happens to it? What can I do with it? It has a specific purpose. It's there to provide a kapara for that individual. If, let's say, for example, the guy died. Okay? Set aside a karma chatas, needed to bring a karma chatas, and that guy died. Right? Chatas shemesa ba'alaha. So what do you do with the karma chatas? You have to let it die. It's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that carbon chatas has to die, has to be just simply allowed to die. There's nothing else you can do with it. You cannot redeem it. Or what if it's not a chatas of an individual? What if it's a chatas of a community? Like the Seir and the Par of Yom Kippur. Like the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Right? That where the entire community was over to Avodah Zarah. So what do you do with a chatas sibur? So Rav Yehuda, which we're not focusing on right now, says, okay, same thing, let it die. The opinion of Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon is, no, don't let it die, but rather wait till it develops a blemish and then redeem it. The Amai. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, didn't you just inform us of this principle? That when it's a communal offering, Beis Din consecrates it on condition. Why do you have to wait for it to get a blemish? Just simply say, look, you did it by Ketores, you did it by the daily carbon, the carbon tamid, so do it over here, by this Avodah Zarah carbon, by your Yom Kippur carbonos. Simply say, it was consecrated conditionally, and now we don't need it for, now bizarre reasons, we don't need it, okay, so just redeem it. So the Gemara says, not a good case study. Avudim kamar, we're talking about where you lost these animals. Shani avudim delo shchiche. This is such a freak accident, right? This is unbelievable. So we lost the par of Yom Kippur. We lost the seer of Yom Kippur. This is so uncommon. When does Beis Din consecrate conditionally? When we know that there's going to be animals that we don't need. We know that there's ketores that we're not going to use this year. That's frequent. That's a common occurrence. So then Beis Din will be makdashit on condition.
It's predictable.
But the par and the seer of Yom Kippur and the seer of Avodah Zarah, we're not banking on the fact that we're going to lose it. And in the event that we lose it, right, we want to be able to, and we're going to have to replace it. We're going to want to redeem this. That's too bizarre. That's too infrequent. Beis Din will not make it conditional. Will not consecrate conditionally. Okay, one more for today. Hare para delo shchicha v'tanya para niftes al kol psul shabah. Your para aduma, right? First of all, if it's disqualified, it grows a couple of black hairs. Okay, so redeem it. Mesa tipada. What if it died without a shchita? It just died. Para aduma dies. Right? Certainly doesn't make anyone happy. We wanted to burn it, shecht and burn it, but it dies. Okay, it could be redeemed. Nishchita tipada. If it was shechted and not in its proper place, okay, so redeem it. Masa acheres na hemena. What if you find a nicer paraduma? Right? Not that many paradumas in Jewish history, right? really a limited amount. But let's say we find one, and by some unbelievable occurrence, we find another one, a lot nicer. Okay, so we're going to leave the first one, right? Zekei livan veyu. We're going to leave the first one and we're going to move on to the nicer one. Shachta agabe marachta, ein la pedia olamis. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah is, what if it was shachted kedasu kedin? Done. Meaning at that point in time, it can't be redeemed anymore. Okay? So, fine. Okay, that's shachta agabe marachta. But meanwhile, however, when it comes to the paraduma, so paraduma, what are the chances, right? Let's start off with this one. What are the chances that you're going to find a nicer paraduma? Right? It's highly unlikely. Right? Better than winning the lottery, but still, it's highly unlikely that you're going to find a nicer paraduma. And meanwhile, the Mishnah and Parah tells us, right? Mishnah, it's a Tosefta. The Tosefta and Parah tells us that if you find a nicer one, you could take this animal and you could redeem it. Now, this is certainly infrequent, right? This is certainly unlikely. And you just told me that when something's infrequent and something's unlikely, Beis Din will not make it conditional. And meanwhile, by the Parah Aduma, you're saying to me, yeah, go ahead, it's okay, redeem it. What? You can't do that. So, Shani Parah, sorry. Yeah, Shani Parah, Dekache Bedek HaBayithi. So the Gemara says, okay, but you started off this whole discussion with an assumption. You thought Parah Aduma was Kedushas HaGuf. Okay? Which is not, it's not crazy to assume, but you're wrong. That's incorrect. It's only Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, not Kedushas HaGuf. So the Gemara says, okay, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, yeah. In order to redeem any Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, if it's livestock, right? If it's an animal, and it only has Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, it needs Hamada V'Haracha. It needs an appraisal, and not just an appraisal, but it needs to stand up. If it's dead, it's going to be challenging for it to stand up. So Hamani Rabbi Shimon Yidamar Kachem Mizbecha Yibachla Hamad Varacha Kachem Bedek HaBayis La Yohav Hamad Varacha. So the Gemara says, okay, but over here we are subscribing to the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that by Kachem Bedek HaBayis you don't have this requirement of having the animal stand for its appraisal. It could be dead and still be redeemed. E Rabbi Shimon Ema Seifa Shachla Gabe Marachte In La Pedi Olamis. So the Gemara says, really, if you want to tell me that this Tosefta is going like Rabbi Shimon, well, then let's move on in the Tosefta. It says it can never be redeemed once shechted properly. The Hatanya, but we learned in a brazer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Paramitami Tomas Ochlin, Hol Vahaisala Shasa Kosher. So the Parah Aduma is subject to Tomas Ochlin. It's considered food and subject to Tumah like any food. Who's eating the Parah Aduma? Why in the world is it subject to Tumas Ochlin? The Amar Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish goes on to explain. Omer Hayah Rabbi Shimon Parah Niftes Agav Marachta. So because it can be redeemed. It can be redeemed while it's on the Marachta. So you see the Rabbi Shimon says that it's always redeemable, even if it was shechted properly. It's always redeemable. Elashani Parah Hol V'Dama Yikarim. So the Gemara says, okay, new approach, right? Why is it that the Parah Aduma is redeemable? Okay, so originally we said, well, if something's infrequent and uncommon, Beis Din won't make it Tanai. True. But if it's something that has a lot of value, Beis Din will make it Tanai. Even if it's uncommon, even if it's infrequent. So, fine. And that's our story with the Parah Aduma. So you're right. On the point that it's uncommon that you're going to find a better Parah Aduma, you're right. It is uncommon. But by Parah Aduma, there's another consideration. And that is the fact that it's worth a lot of money. And since the Parah Aduma is worth a lot of money, so when Beis Din consecrates the Parah Aduma, they do so al Tanai. They do so conditionally. Okay? Fine. So today, the basic principle that we learned today is this concept of Tanai, of Beis Din, Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. That explains Rav Yochanan's statement that by the daily carbon tamid, all the leftover at the end of the year can be redeemed, even if it's not blemished. Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. It explains the Ketoret. The Ketoret also has Kedusha Seguf, and meanwhile Beis Din redeems it. How did that happen? Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. And Parah Aduma, our third example of the day. Parah Aduma, Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem, the Beis Din makes a condition. It's only if we need it, it's going to have Kedushas Aguf. Otherwise, it's going to be downgraded to Kedushas Damim. Parah Aduma is exceptional because even though it's not likely that we're going to find someone better, but nevertheless, because it's so expensive, Beis Din also makes that conditional as well.
When you say Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem, does that mean that they do not have to make a formal declaration?
Right. That's the right question. I'm not sure. The Gemara is not clear about that. That needs more research. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll pause over here. Good. Rabbi, this the learning that we did this morning is Le'ilu Inishmas. And Rabbi Hanani Ben Akash, Mazakash Baruch, Zakhli Sofi, Chachir Ben Tor, Mitzvah Shenemar, Nachafetz Amati, Ko Yagdut, Rabbi Adir.